This week's parsha is Parshas Achrimos, which deals with the service of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. This parsha, the beginning of the parsha, goes through all the various parts of this avodah, of the service, and one of the more interesting but very important parts was the service of the Shtei Haseirim, the two goats. What happened was that there were two goats that were brought. They had to be identical goats. And there was a geirel, there was a lottery done on the goats, so one of the goats gets to have his blood brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, whereas the other goat is thrown off a cliff. The throwing of the goat off the cliff signifies we're bringing our base self, our evil self, the chataim, the sins that we've done, and we're saying we're throwing them all away. We're not interested in having them. We put a red string on the horn of this goat, and when he gets thrown off the cliff, then we're told that if the string turns white, then we know that the sins have been forgiven, and we're able to peacefully and happily go back to our homes after Yom Kippur, knowing that our sins have been forgiven. The question is that when the pasuk is talking about these two goats, it says that the Kohen Gadol should vilakach es shnei haseirim, and he should take the two goats. There's a rule in the Torah. The Torah does not ever use extra words. Every word that is used has meaning to it. And the rule is that when something is written in plural form and it doesn't have a number before it, it always means two. Because if it would be 3 or 5 or 12, it would always say the number before it. But if there's no number before it, then that tells us it's more than one, so it has to be two. And the question we're asking is, therefore, if I know that plural is always two, why does the pasuk have to tell us v'lakach es shnei haseirim? It would have been enough to say v'lakach es haseirim. We would know that he's dealing with two. So to understand this, we're going to bring a bunch of examples to prove that the fundamental rule is that everything in the Bria, everything that has been created, animate, inanimate, animal, plant, and of course people, want to become closer to Hashem, want to become closer to Kedusha, want to become closer to holiness. We see this, for example, with the stones under Yaakov's head. We have a story about Yaakov taking 12 stones and putting them under his head to go to sleep on, and it becomes one stone because they all fought, saying, I want Yaakov to sleep on me tonight. So we have a story of inanimate stones moving together and becoming one stone, symbolically telling us that even stones want to be of service to a great person. We see it with the par, with the cow of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi was a prophet at the time where a lot of the Jews were serving the Baal. Baal was a type of avodah zarah, and he wanted to put an end to it. So he called the prophets of the Baal together, and he said, we need to show the Jews that there's one true God. And they have to make this choice. It's either serving Hashem or it's serving the Baal. But they can't sometimes serve the Baal and sometimes serve Hashem. So he called all the Jews together. This was something, it was a real exception, because really you weren't supposed to be bringing karbonos out of the Beis HaMikdash at this time. However, Eliyahu HaNavi felt like he needed to make a big spectacle. So he brings everybody to Har HaKarmel, and he takes the two pars, and he says, one of these par is going to go to Hashem, and one is going to go to the Baal. And what we'll do is, we'll see if a fire comes down and consumes the par, we'll know that the par that the fire consumed is the real true God. And we'll see if it's Hashem who does it or the Baal who does it. Well, he had the two pars, and the par of Eliyahu followed Eliyahu on his own, while the other one didn't want to go. The other par refused to go. The par said to Eliyahu, me and my friend, we came from the same mother. We grew up on the same farm. Why does he get to go to Hashem and I have to go to the Baal? Why does he get to be brought up for Kedusha and I have to go to Tumah? The 500 Nevi'ei HaBaal tried to get this par to move, and none of them were able to move him, and neither was Eliyahu able to move him. And he whispered into his ear, he said, you can be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim by not being taken, meaning going as the sacrifice of the Baal, but not being consumed is going to be as big of a Kiddush Hashem, of sanctification of Hashem's name, as the power that's going to be taken up by Hashem. And yet the power refused to move until Eliyahu forcibly pulled it along and moved it. And his complaint was, the power of the Baal, was that by the Seirim of Yom Kippur, which we're talking about, the goats of Yom Kippur, they have the same complaint, meaning they could say the same thing. How come he gets to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and I have to go to Azazel? But at least the power of the Baal said, at least you can explain it by saying there's a lottery, there's a girl, meaning the Kohen Gadol didn't choose, the lottery chose. But here, how can you randomly give one power to the Baal and one power to Hashem? And Eliyahu explained to the power. He said, we can't do a girl here. I can't do a lottery here. Because if I did a lottery and the test happens and the power of the Baal isn't taken, then they'll say that the lottery wasn't fair. It wasn't a good lottery. However, this way, I let them choose the power that they wanted. So now they can't have any complaints about the lottery or unfairness. And that's why we don't do a lottery here. As a side point, we would have to question, Eliyahu is talking to a par, and we don't know about this, meaning that this whole conversation here that I just told you about is not written in the Psukim. We learn about it from Chazal. In the Psukim, it doesn't say any of this. There are hints to it, but it doesn't say it straight out. And the question is, if there's a conversation going on between a par and Eliyahu, wouldn't we want to know about it? By Bilam, when his donkey starts to talk to him, we have many psukim written about it, and the Torah makes such a big deal about it. Why is this hidden? And even more so, if the people are standing there, are watching Eliyahu talking to a cow, that would be enough to astonish them so that they should not need to do the whole test altogether. Meaning, if you have cows talking and saying, I don't want to go to the Baal, I only want to go to Hashem, shouldn't that be enough to make it clear that Eliyahu is the true prophet here? So the answer is that when we say things like this, that the animal spoke, or that every blade of grass sings out to Hashem, all the whole Perek Shira that we talk about, that the cows say and the fish say, what does it mean when they say it? That there is a sar, an angel up in heaven that is appointed to take care of whatever the object is. Like we, every single person has an angel who is watching over us. So too, everything in the Bria has a sar, an angel that is appointed over them. So did this par. And the idea is that Eliyahu wasn't talking to a cow. He was talking to the angel that was, and it wasn't a conversation that was happening out loud. It was a conversation that Eliyahu as a prophet was able to maintain and to have, but not necessarily a cow opening up his mouth and speaking. And this explains many of our psukim, like when we say Naharais Yimcha Ukaf Yachad Harim Yurananu, that the rivers are clapping hands and the mountains are singing together, or Az Yurananu Kol Atseyar, all the forests, the trees in the forests are singing. We're not talking about trees bursting out into song. We're talking about the Sarim, the Malachim, that are appointed over the trees, over the specific forest. They're praising God. They're singing out in song. But when we say that animals have an opinion, we're talking about the angels who have an opinion. I'll give you another example where we see that animals seem to have their own day, have their opinion, and that's when it says that Yaakov took min habab yaday, to give as a gift to Esav, min habab yaday, from what came into his hand. What does it mean? So he had a problem. Yaakov had a problem because he's trying to give a present to Esav, and his first question is, should I give him from the good, and then maybe Esav will look, if I give him too much good, then he's going to look at me with an ayin hara. He's going to say, whoa, how did Yaakov get so wealthy? And if I give him from the bad, then he's going to be upset that I'm giving him the weaker cattle. So what should I give him? So he took min hababi yaday. He took whatever came his way. He took that as a sign to that these are the ones that I'm going to give to Esav. Could be. But now with what we're saying, we have a deeper way of looking at this, and it could be that these animals didn't want to go from Yaakov to Esav. I don't want to transfer from Yaakov. I'm very happy being part of Yaakov's flock. Why do I have to go to Esav? So min hababi adai doesn't mean, as we just explained, you know, the ones that coincidentally came to his hands, but min hababi adai, from the ones that came to his hand, tells us that he actually had to take these animals in his hand and push them to go, by promising them, these animals, that this was also for the purpose of making a Kiddush Hashem. And yes, you do have to go to Esav now, and this is going to be good because it's going to be part of the salvation of Klal Yisrael. Interesting, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perakayim Beis, pasuk Yud, Malchei Tarshish Ve'im Mincha Yashivu, that the kings of Tarshish and the islands are going to bring us a gift. This is talking about in the times of Mashiach. It's that everybody's going to want to come in and proclaim their loyalty to Klal Yisrael and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Medrash picks up and says that it doesn't say Mincha Yaviu, they're going to bring a gift. It says Mincha Yashivu, they're going to return a gift. What gift are they returning? He says, the Medrash says on Parshas Vayishlach, Melamed, it teaches us that all the gifts that Yaakov Avinu gave to Esav, the nations are going to return to us, to Melech HaMashiach, in the future when Mashiach comes. Obviously not the same animals, but the idea is that when Yaakov had to push those animals to go to Esav, he was telling them, don't worry, your descendants are going to come back to Klal Yisrael. You're not going to get stuck there by the Goyim. So we see that Yaakov had to actually take the animals and push them to go. And we see the opposite by Dor HaMabul, by the flood, where it says, Shnaim Shnaim Ba'u El Noach, the animals came two by two to Noach, that they came on their own because they wanted to go onto the Teva and he didn't have to push them. So we have a whole world of, again, animals, rocks, things that, and we're not talking about that a cow doesn't have a brain, but what we're saying is that there's an idea that even inanimate objects want this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So back to our original question, why does it have to say that he took two se'irim, shnei se'irim, why do I need that word too? Is that he had to take them both, saying good words to both of them. Even the one that was going to Azazel, he had to bring him in and put them both before Hashem, the two of them, so that they would see that together we are being mekayim the mitzvah, not one is more important than the other. Although it seems like the Sa'ir LaHashem has a more chashuv job. When it says that he took the two se'irim, it tells us that they were equal, they were the same, not just in appearance, not just in age, not just in where they came from, but in their purpose and in their goals, even though it looks like you have two different destinies, because you are both working to do this important avodah on Yom Kippur. You're together, the mitzvah can be mekuyim together, the mitzvah could be done, not one is not more important than the other. And I think there's two lessons we can learn from this. One is simply that if the cows want to serve Hashem, and the goats want to serve Hashem, and the stones want to serve Hashem, then it should teach us something about our desire to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to get closer to his people, and to find ways to be of service, to have that desire. If it looks like the goat has the desire, how much more so should we? And the second thing I'm thinking, because I'm recording this right after Pesach, as I'm sure like many of you, I spent much of my time preparing for the holiness of this Chag of Pesach doing very menial jobs, meaning it wasn't sitting and preparing spiritually as much as it was chopping onions and changing linen on beds. And sometimes we could feel like, is this really about this Hashem? Am I really serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It seems to be so unimportant, the work that we do. And yet this teaches us that every part of the job that brings to the fulfillment, meaning we wanted to create a beautiful yontiv, to create that beautiful yontiv, the linen had to be changed and the onions had to be chopped and the floor had to be mopped and again and again and again the floor had to be mopped. And this is all part of our privilege of being able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in the types of job that seems to be the unimportant work. We we're all part of the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.